Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about a subject matter that is not brought up very often in conversation, and usually when it is, it has a lot of confusion that is associated with it. What am I talking about? Well, it's the United Symbols of America. Yes, we're going to be deciphering some meanings in, well, some of the most familiar logos that we have grown accustomed to through the years. My guest is Dr. Robert Hieronymus. He's an internationally known historian. He's an artist. He's also hosted his own radio show. He's been used by members of the White House and State Department because of his extensive knowledge. He is published in the Congressional Record. Now, his passion, absolute passion, is the study of symbols of various societies, some of them secret, some of them not, also about various aspects of American history and legend. So he's written other books. He has been featured on the History Channel, the National Geographic Channel. Currently, he has his own weekly program, and he loves getting into topics that nobody else wants to talk about. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hieronymus.
Well, Donna, thank you ever so much for asking me to join you. It's wonderful to know that other people are interested in the positive aspects of America's symbols because, boy, when you take a look at them, each one of them separately and as a group, they tell pretty much the same kind of story, and that is, as corny as it might sound, that America is kind of like the foundation of establishing a representative form of government, which, of course, we had other representative forms of government before in Greece and Rome, but nothing like we have here in America. But also, of course, with the League of the Iroquois Indians,
mm-hmm.
From which we had been given so much. And fortunately, back in the old days of 1990, thank heavens that George Bush at that time came out and made sure that Americans knew that it was the League of the Iroquois that did influence our founding fathers in writing the Constitution. Now, that's a major step forward in understanding just how important the Native Americans, if you can call them that. Now, you know, sometimes you don't know what to call them. Are they the original Americans, or were there people here before that? But whatever. Boy, they understood the importance of women, and I think that that's extremely important today because of the abilities and capacities of intuition, of nurturing, of caring for. That when I think of America, that's what, as corny as it sounds, and naive as I probably sound, is that's what America is about. It's a nurturer, a carer. Now, of course, we've gone down the wrong road sometimes. However, we have still brought people together in a very positive way. And I'm hoping that we will continue that tradition.
I agree with that. There were so many different points of information that I thought was so interesting in your book because a great deal of what was adopted and brought in as symbolism within our country was brought in from various cultures. There's just no one something that did all, had all, and was it all. It is a combination of so many variables over a period of time. And what I wanted to do was go right into the very first part of your book where you talk about associations, various things that we have attitudes about. And one of these factors, and I plead guilty to having done this myself.
Well, then I put you under arrest.
We all make assumptions about things. Maybe we get a little comment from somebody somewhere. And when you really get down to the bare bones, a lot of people pick up judgments, opinions, and what might be perceived as facts based on what somebody said in a conversation without challenging it. And your book brings out so many good facts. Why do you think you became so curious about facts? What was it in your constitution as a personality that made you decide that you were going to do some investigation?
Well, I can tell you exactly why. It happened back in 1966. I was sitting in my bathtub.
Oh, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, it always is, especially, you know, I'm being an artist in those days. Eating was the most important thing in the world, Donna.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I thought about it all the time. And it was about 95 degrees out. Of course, we didn't have any air conditioning. That's why I was sitting in the cold bath water. I learned how to do that. And I was looking at my last dollar bill, and I was thinking, you know, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to buy a loaf of bread and a half a pound of bologna and eat bologna sandwiches for the rest of the week, or should I splurge and actually go get some French fries? You know, because that becomes very exotic when you're hungry, regardless of how bad it's for you,
mm-hmm.
right? So I saw this symbol on the back of the $1 bill, and I thought to myself, you know, what in the world is this? What does a pyramid have to do with the United States of America? Well, there aren't that many pyramids in the United States, as far as I knew. And then what is this peculiar symbol of the eye in a triangle above it? Well, that got me on the road to saying, I know what I'm going to do. Since I only had my BA at that time, I'm going to go to the State Department and ask them, what is the meaning of this symbol of the pyramid and the eye in a triangle? Because it doesn't look American to me. And, of course, I waited after I wrote to them, waited for about 6 months, and then I got an answer. It was really thrilling to see you get in your little mailbox a letter saying State Department on the front of it. You know, I'm certain that the mailman must have thought that was pretty strange at that time. So I read what they had to say, and guess what? They didn't have any information at all on the pyramid and the eye and the triangle.
Are you serious?
I thought they made a mistake.
Are you serious? They had no information at all?
Not on the meaning of the pyramid and the eye and the triangle. No, they didn't. And so I contacted them again, and it only took 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, they sent me a beautiful black and white photograph of the reverse of the Great Seal of the United States, but again, no information on it. I didn't know what to do. So I did what I guess most of us do when you think that the major source of information isn't going to tell you for some reason. I started to check out the Encyclopedia Britannicas and the Americanas and the usual kind of stuff, because back in 1967, we didn't have any internet that you just push a couple of buttons and found an answer. And that's where I got myself in trouble. The reason being that it was not until 1978 that the State Department published the official, the best book on the Great Seal of the United States ever, and it's called The Eagle and the Shield. Now, I was in correspondence with the authors, Richard Patterson and Richardson Dougal, for years. And I was very excited about when this book came out, because I knew if anyone could get to the bottom of the meaning and historical interpretation, accurate historical interpretation, the State Department could do it. And since I had argued with them, Donna, for years, I was a real pest. I just, you know, because I said, keep going. What's the meaning of this symbol? Where did it come from? Why do we have it? And why is it not used today? You know, because that's important. It's only found on the back of the $1 bill. Well, fortunately, that book in 1978 came out, Eagle and the Shield, and it did a masterful job of introducing us, the entire planet, to the people who designed the Great Seal of the United States. As only they could, because they had all the records, right? I mean, they had what the Secretary of Congress was saying, Charles Thompson, and William Barton, who was one of the artists that put it together. So here's what really made the difference in my understanding about America at that time. I learned that it was basically after three committees and 6 years that two individuals by the names of Charles Thompson and William Barton, two individuals that did not belong to any secret societies, the two individuals had a deep interest in symbolism and a great interest in heraldry, were the guys responsible. Now, when you look at those symbols, the pyramid and the eye and the triangle, most people will take that leap and say, hey, I've seen this before. That has to be a symbol for Freemasonry or some secret society, the Rosicrucians, the Illuminati, etc., etc., etc. And there grew an entire group of writings back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and up especially today, that basically depended on information that was totally inaccurate. What I mean by inaccurate is, if you read some of the other sources, like my friend Manly Palmer Hall, who I argued with for a long period of time and have all of my correspondence, but I love the man. He's a brilliant soul. He's a philosopher. But as a historian, he's not so good. I mean, mm-hmm. certain, you can't be great in everything, right? So what I learned, of course, was that this symbol that Charles Thompson and William Barton gave to us did not come from any secret society, but from the roots of archetypal symbols, which are found within heraldry and are found throughout the planet in various countries. So when you take a look at the symbol, the pyramid, the iron and triangle, what is the pyramid to the founding fathers that actually designed it? Well, the pyramid meant strength and duration. That which will last on and on and on. And that's quite a symbol to use to establish a nation. You want a nation that's going to last for a long period of time and have some type of inner guidance. Now, what provides the inner guidance isn't the physical world of the pyramid. You have this eye in a triangle, and what did our founding fathers say about that? They said, this is the eye of providence. This is the supreme being. This is God overlooking us, taking care of us. That was just part of it. Now, that's an incredible story. You have spirit in the eye in the triangle. You have matter, the physical world. And in this balance of the physical world and the spiritual world, you have exactly who we are as human beings. We are not just physical bodies. We have a spiritual component which is immortal. And it is a spark, a part of the divinity. And that's quite a thing to have rather than just a rock. Well, a rock certainly has certain spirit, too. I don't want to get into that, but I think you understand what I'm saying here.
Oh, I absolutely do.
That seal of a country, that is a major statement to make. That's a statement that, boy, you know, we are one with the universe, as above, so below, and that it is this immortal component that we need to listen to. And you can do that through prayer. You can do it through meditation. You can do it by serving others, and boy, we need to do that now and helping as many people as we possibly can in our own neighborhood. It doesn't have to be so grandiose, or, you know, a whole planet or whatever. It can be the person that lives downstairs that's 92 years old that may need a hand, or anyone or anything that needs a certain amount of help emotionally, physically, spiritually, or whatever, or giving it freely, not charging for it. It's just something that you want to do. And that, as far as I'm always been concerned, because I was going to be a priest at one time, I was going to be a minister, that, as far as I am concerned, is the key component to us as consciousness beings. Now, that's the pyramid, the eye, and the triangle. But if you go up to the internet today, and you take a look at what they say there, you're going to have real trouble with this. Because they say, hey, see that eye in a triangle there? You know what that is? That's Satan.
We're not going to go there, Doctor, with that, because I don't buy into that at all. And I do want to cover some of the other symbols you've got here, because you have got some very, very good historical information. What I wanted to go into was the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yes.
Because you have some wonderful information on the Statue of Liberty, which I have to tell you, as an American, whenever I'm on a boat, whenever I pass that in New York, it's very, very stirring to me emotionally. And my father came from Italy. I've known a number of people that have come into this country from very, very oppressive, difficult circumstances, and coming in and seeing that grand lady there is just absolutely phenomenal. And, of course, we know she came from France. There's just such a wonderful history about this woman. But you really went into a little bit of different depth about this great lady and what she represents. And this is my bias. This is how I feel about her. But she represents a symbol that to this day goes around the world. There's very few places that, if they're aware of America, that is not the symbol. That's one of the first things that comes into the mind besides the flag and maybe the symbols on money. But really, she is a symbol for people around the world, of something that is so precious and so special. Give us a little bit of information about her.
Well, of course, when you take a look at the physical being of the Statue of Liberty, she is a woman, obviously. She is a pagan Roman goddess. She was designed that way by Bartholdi. And the most important aspect of it, there are so many great symbols when you look carefully at this feminine goddess. She is holding a torch. This torch is illumination. Illumination is very similar to the aspect of the eye in the triangle that we referred to before. Because remember I said a little bit before that the symbols of America tell pretty much the same kind of story. Here she is holding in her right hand, the right of hand of activity, the right hand of healing, a symbol for not just illumination, but higher consciousness, of bringing people together, of shedding light on all darkness. Whoa! I mean, this is just one small component, because she has on her head a crown of seven spikes, the seven, of course, being, if we get back to the ancients and their symbolism, we've been told, of course, the seven stands for the seven continents, the seven seas, and that might be so, because this is the good thing about symbols. There's many different levels of meaning in symbols. But that seven also, if we get to esoteric Kabbalah, you come to the symbol of victory. That is that one who has achieved cosmic consciousness, Christ consciousness. Consciousness which is above the physical and emotional world and into the spiritual world. Our goddess is carrying the torch which enlightens the world. She is wearing on her head a symbol of being victorious in elevating her awareness to all things. And she's got carrying a book. And this book is, of course, with the date on it, 1776, it's in Roman numerals, of course. 1776 is exceedingly important, because the book, when we go back to various esoteric traditions, comes down to knowledge, in a certain sense, spiritual knowledge. And more than that, there is one little poem that I think about when I was in high school and in elementary school. Abub and Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace, and saw, oh, I'm missing a few words there, and saw in his room the book of gold. This book of gold, of course, is what esotericists and spiritual people know or believe as the Akashic Records. That is the history of everything, which is written not in the physical world, but in the higher elements and in the spiritual elements. That never changes. She is so, this victorious goddess who is the fountain of wisdom and knowledge and illumination to the world, is got this book in her left hand. Her left hand is the receiving energy hand. Her left hand is that which is the intuition. This is an important component to all of us human beings, because we all have spiritual intuition. And we can, again, as I noted before, through prayer, through meditation, through service to others, you can elevate your awareness and intuition so that you can bypass all rational systems and get to the point of certain knowledge, spiritual knowledge. It's not an abstract, analytical thing. It is something that I think most artists enjoy when they're working in their studio 10, 12, 14 hours, and they, by that being in one place, focusing on one thing, you elevate your awareness automatically. You don't, it is not necessary to use any type of drug. It's a natural component within us, which is divinity. She is standing on the Statue of Liberty. She's standing on a chain, a broken chain. And what is that chain? I think that chain, in part, is the chain to believing that there's only a physical world, that all things, the only thing that's important are those things that are physical. And I'm afraid materialism today has been a major component in the breakdown of our relationship with the higher worlds and natural worlds. And what Statue of Liberty is saying, through intuition, through illumination, you can break this tie to the physical world, in the sense that the physical world's not bad, it's not the material world's not bad, but to live solely within the physical and neglect the spirit, I think, is very unhealthy, especially in the area of symbolism and the aspect of what is one human being in relationship to the next. So the Statue of Liberty tells pretty much the same kind of story that the reverse of the Great Seal is, and that these are our feminine aspects. All human beings have this feminine component, this caring, this nurturing, which is desperately needed in these times because of the travesty of what we have done to our planet in regards to nature. And of course, if you get to other areas of symbolism, like the flag and the Liberty Bell, that they tell pretty much the same kind of story, but in a different way, which reminds me of the components of the Ageless Wisdom teachings, in which they say, as above, so below, as within, so without. The microcosm equals the macrocosm. So in that sense, you're saying that this eye in the triangle and the pyramid is saying the same thing that our Statue of Liberty is, as so in the same kind of symbolism you find within the American flag, because within the American flag, our American flag is perhaps the first national flag in the entire planet ever. France's flag came soon after ours, but it was the first national flag. And because of that, I think it sets a precedent. And the story that flag tells, the red, white, and blue, is an extremely positive story. It's about balance and care and paying attention to that which is within us, that the stars in the heavens actually symbolize that kind of thing. I know that I've simplified things a little bit here, and there's a lot of history that goes into supporting the kinds of things that I'm saying, but the most important thing about America's symbols is they show a certain kind of destiny, Donna. They show a destiny which deals with that which is all things that are feminine nature. And of course, all human beings have a feminine nature and a masculine nature, and you can be, and vice versa. So within our feminine intuitional nature, we try to care for our planet. We try to care for our families. We try to make sure that those who are born within these borders of the United States have the freedoms that all human beings should have on the planet. And that's one of the most important things that our nation has established in world history. We may have made some mistakes, but at the same time, the intention of establishing a representative form of government, you know, because when you take a look at, say, for instance, just the mottos on the Great Seal of the United States are extremely powerful, such as "No Vos Ordo Seclorum," that you find in the at the bottom of the Great Pyramid, the New Order of the Ages. What is the New Order? The New Order is that of a representative, a republic, which is that we all really do count. We all are very important. This is absolutely the antipathy or antagonistic towards that which is a monarchy, which is what America established from the standpoint of preventing a monarchy, which we almost had again back in 1798, but we won that. Thanks to Thomas Jefferson, we won that victory and did not recede into a church-state relationship, that's where we were headed, unfortunately, at that time. Boy, I got carried away there. I'm sorry.
Well, for everybody who's listening, you can tell that you really have a fabulous passion. Your book is so interesting to read because not only do you cover the topics, and you've got so much history. For example, your history that you write about with the Iroquois, and I know we only have a few minutes here before we'll be closing out our chat for today, but the Statue of Liberty, you mentioned the Liberty Bell, the Eagle, the symbol of that, of the layout of Washington, D.C., the buildings that have been done. And I can say to my listeners, if you are in that area of the country listening, perhaps you can understand what I say, but I know how meaningful it was to me when I last year was back in the area, and I'm going to be there again this year. But it was so meaningful to me to look at so many of the aspects of memorial. You go into the Washington Monument here in the book. You talk about so many things, and in that one part of our country, all of this together is really quite powerfully effective when you go there, because you meet people from all over the world who come to the place that represents freedom, the right of being able to make choices on so many levels, and it's always due diligence. And I think that your book is part of that process.
Wow,
I think that what you have produced here is something that kids could have in school. I think adults need to be aware that there is a great deal of value in history, but finding out the facts, and I think that that's something that you do. Now, you have your own website, don't you, Dr. Hieronymus?
Yes, ma'am. UnitedSymbolismOfAmerica.com. There was at least 300 pages that we had to cut out of the book, and that's always painful, Donna, but we had to, so we're posting a lot of that material there. We had many more illustrations. There are 70 illustrations in the book. But,
oh, and they're wonderful.
But we had hundreds.
Well, and I can understand that for anyone, no matter what your age, if you have kids and you want to find out about this, I think it's one of the greatest lessons we can ever give ourselves is to question, to investigate, find out where the source of information is. And as I said in the beginning of the program, so often people will make little statements, and we buy into statements without asking, what is the source of your information? Why do you think this is good, this is bad? Myths grow up. All kinds of misstatements are made. It's really sad. And you have done a lot of research on this, and I think it's wonderful reading. I think it opens up so many points of value for people. Now, again, your website is the United Symbolism of America. And people can go to that website and just cruise through to their heart's content. You'll find out about so much that will enable you, should you have the opportunity to travel to the Capitol, it will have even more of a meaning for you because you'll be able to see it with different eyes. You bring up the Lincoln Memorial, which to me as a little girl was very, very impressive. And last year when I was able to go back and revisit it, it was even more impressive to me. And I can tell you that people, when they walk into those environments, there is a sense of reverence because they realize this represents something very powerful. We're not perfect here. It has never been perfect, but to this day, you will have people that will give everything they own just to have the opportunity to breathe, be a part of this environment of freedom as they perceive it to be. Dr. Hieronymus, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Well, Donna, this has been a true joy and delight, and I want to thank you for you've got a very lucky audience and elevating their awareness on so many other things besides this. And could I also thank Barnes & Noble for carrying my book across the country, because
oh, of course.
It's really good to know that some publishers don't look at this as being, well, who cares about them? you know what I'm saying, don't you, dear?
I do. I know exactly.
They think that most people think they really know just how great these symbols are, but there's a whole inner meaning to it, which, by the way, I think it was kind of planned this way. I think there's a higher element here that we don't have time to discuss, but I think we are the embodiment of the free spirit of our planet.
Well, on that note, we're going to have to say goodbye. Thank you again for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't you go anywhere because we've got a lot of good things to share. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and I invite you. I welcome you to join me and call in if you'd like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Now, all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and then let me tell you what I perceive, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Now, by the way, before I go to our caller who's waiting on the line, I want to tell you tomorrow we're going to be talking about Merle. Now, Merle is this awesome dog. Ted Carasotti is going to be my guest. This is, if you are an animal lover, you're going to just want to know everything about Merle. He is absolutely awesome. Meanwhile, let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Hello, caller. Welcome. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is Lori from San Francisco.
Okay, dear. Your voice came through totally like a blur. Could you speak up clearly, please, again? I couldn't hear you.
Lori.
And where are you calling from, Lori?
From San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yes.
One of my favorite places.
Oh,
I just love San Francisco.
Me too.
Okay, Lori, the first thing I'm looking at with you is the word education. Then right next to it is the word application. So apparently, you have been going through the process of absorbing information. You have been involved in classes, in reading. You have been the student that really wants to go out into the world and make a difference. But now it's time for you to take that learning and to start putting it into practical application. It is something that you have been a little concerned about, wondering if this is going to be the case, if this is going to be what you're going to be able to do. The answer is yes. And you need to put your fears aside and sort of stick the big toe in the water. But what I'd say is absolutely jump in. Let's say you had been taking classes on deep sea diving. Then you can intellectualize till the cows come home, but until you get the body into the water and you actually get into a working application, you're not going to truly understand what's going on. It's one thing to absorb stuff from books. It's another thing to apply it. So I'd love to see you linking up with people that would support you in what I would call an apprentice training environment so you can gain your momentum, you can gain your strength and your confidence and feel safe at the same time. You want to be in an environment that's going to enable you to make your mistakes and your blunders so that you can refine those skills that mean so much to you and then can really put them into full-scale operation and application as you desire. There is this sense of apprehension that I'm picking up with you. Sometimes when you get very, very nervous, you get to the point where you feel like you're going to throw up. It's just this overwhelming discomfort. And you are learning how to get past that. It's not easy, but you're learning how to do it. And it is going to be the application of what you have learned in a practical, usable way that will make the difference for you. So go for it. Don't be afraid. Volunteer for duty. You're the one that's going to come out the winner here. And anybody and everybody that associates with you is going to come out the winner. But it's very important that you reach for what you're looking for and what you want to do. There's nobody coming by that's going to ring a bell and tell you it's time to do it. You need to reach out for it regardless of your apprehension. What's on your mind, dear? What would you like to ask me?
Now I have another question, but what I'd wanted to ask was about selling my house. I'm planning on doing that. I'm engaged to be married.
Well, now, what are you concerned about with selling the house? You made up your mind to do it. What would you want me to address with that?
The timing.
Well, the timing is going to be a little bit strange on this one. You may have what I'd call dead space for a few months, where there's not really going to be a lot going on.
Okay.
Is there a particular time frame where you were hoping to sell it in?
Maybe by the end of the year, or that was my thought.
Well, it depends on what it is that you want, because what I'm looking at is that down deep you really don't want to sell it. And there is a hesitancy that I'm looking at. There is going to be a buyer for your place. I'm not concerned about that at all. What I'm looking at is that there are some other issues I think you need to be sure that you have in order before you look to selling this, because this is an asset. This
yes.
is not a liability, really. It is an asset that you should be able to leverage in a way that's going to give you what you want to get you to where you want to go.
Okay.
And when you can look at your property in that way, I think that's going to enable you to make some better choices. Is there a reason why you're wanting to sell it now?
Well, for an asset, and then to reinvest, that was one thought that I had.
All right. I think you need to think some things through, dear.
Okay.
If I could encourage you to do something, as an asset, go ahead, if you have an extra $100 a month or whatever you have, put it against your principal so that you build up your equity.
Okay.
Think out really what it is that you really need to be focusing on rather than the selling of your asset.
Okay.
Look at other things that really have more of the position of priority, because this house or your property is not a make-or-break deal here.
Okay.
And you want to be able to move it forward, and you haven't done your homework regarding the investment. So pay down, put as much as you can into the equity. Let that be what's building for you while you're about the business of taking care of other things and putting those in place.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yes.
Wonderful.
It really does. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You have a wonderful day now, and thank you for calling.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and phone lines are open if you'd like to give me a buzz. 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. When we were talking with Dr. Hieronymus earlier, as I mentioned, the Statue of Liberty to me has always been such a powerful, powerful symbol. And on the Statue of Liberty, there's this wonderful poem, and I wanted to share this. It was written by a woman, Emma Lazarus, and this is what she wrote. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame with conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor the twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Too frequently, I think, we forget that what makes an American is all of the people throughout the world. When we look at the history of this country, so many, many, many came over as indentured servants from all parts of the world. So many came over as slaves on one level or another. But what happened is there was an opportunity here that everybody was eventually able to reach for if they were willing to go for it. We still have limitations here. There's not a place on this planet that is perfect, period. That's not life. But freedom is something, when you have the opportunity of choice, that really makes a difference. We're able to broadcast because the opportunity is made available to us. In many parts of the world, this would not be possible. Women have an opportunity to achieve and accomplish anything and everything that they really set their mind to if they want to do it. I'm looking forward to the day when instead of being so conscious of gender differences, we recognize that a brain doesn't care what kind of a gender it's got. Male or female, it doesn't make any difference. You, if you're capable, if you're competent, you're able to do and to achieve what is out there to achieve. And that's why entrepreneurship is so powerful. But when we get to a point where we forget that we earn what we have, good, bad, or indifferent, and if we want to pass on a legacy, we need to honor the best of what we have to offer by making sure that we pass it along. I was reviewing some material this morning written by a brigadier general, a Vietnam veteran. This man has served in so many areas of the world. He's going to be a guest on my show coming up in the next couple of months. But as I was going through the material, I realized what he had grown up through, what he had come through. And he's a United States citizen, and he is a man of a background that is just, in my mind, horrific in some of its aspects. But this is a man that came from what would be described as a nothing kind of an environment and ended up becoming a brigadier general and actually affecting the lives of thousands and thousands of people in a very special way. And he still is. When he published this book, he's leaving a legacy that I think is quite phenomenal, both for history, but also with purpose and pride and a sense of accomplishment. And he's an example to the younger generation. And I think for those of us that are mature individuals, we need to remember to be consciously present with who we are, what we are, and what kind of a legacy do we want to leave. Where do we want to put ourselves? How do we want our lives to be remembered? With purpose, passion, and principle, ethics, and standards that are going to be of good merit and value to those that come behind us. That's so important. Now, it's very easy to adopt hate and to adopt attitudes that put us in boxes that keep us frozen in time. It's terrible. I've seen people's lives destroyed because they were so afraid of letting go of what was not working, or a hate that they carried, an anger that they carried. By golly, they were going to take as many down with them as they possibly could. I've seen this over and over again in so many forms in my life. And I'm sure I'm going to see more of it as I grow older. But as people, as individuals, we have a right of choice. And that's why education is so important. That's why it's important to ask questions. Don't be afraid to challenge. You don't have to be obnoxious, but challenge. Ask. Because that's what growth comes from. Remember, just like on this show, you will hear so many different perspectives of people that have walked different experiences in life. They have views and understandings that are their personal experience. It's not good, it's not bad, and we can all learn from others. But we must be open and aware. And that's one of the great things, I think, that is about American history. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all mixed in, but that's the case with many parts throughout the world. But here we do have a chance. And that's why so many people, as I mentioned earlier, even today, want to come. They'll do anything. There are many who die just trying to be able to be a part of an environment that gives them an opportunity to have a life of freedom, a life of choice. There's no such thing as a free lunch ever. That's one of the things that to me is a little bit sad. When I talk to some of the younger people, they think that everything that they've got is just automatically there. But it hasn't been automatically there. There are a lot of people that have walked a road of hard rocks and hard knocks so that we can enjoy this today. I know. I've interviewed many of them. And I've known many of them in my life. Sometimes we just remember to say thank you to those people that have been committed enough to stand for purpose and principle and for what it is that we cherish so much in this country. Or if we don't, we should. Because I've been in parts of the world where the freedom was taken away. And it's not easily returned. Because those that have taken it away, they don't want you to have it back. Because it means they'll be out of a job. This is Donna Sebo. I am impassioned at this moment. I know. But no, you can take a break for just a moment. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about some successful people. So don't go away. Donna Sebo here, 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Mother's Day is coming up pretty quickly, so I wanted to focus on moms that have made a difference, and I realize that we're almost out of time. So I'm going to go through this fairly quickly. There's a mom. Who would have ever thought that brown bagging would ever go into a business? Well, Christy Thomas had a million-dollar idea, and I've seen other people do this, but Christy took this to the bank, you might say. Her five-year-old daughter, Madison, was having a challenge when she was in kindergarten because she just didn't want to be a separate from mom. So what Christy did, she dreamed up a way to do something special for her daughter. She started packing greeting cards in her lunch to comfort her, but she said it got to be too expensive after a while. So she said, okay, I'm going to just put notes, puzzles, and drawings right on the lunch bag. So she just got very creative, started doing this, and soon her daughter's classmates were saying, I like that. I want one of those. Well, guess what? She has started putting together this business, and she now has a business called Lunchology. She is expected to make $1 million within the next 5 years plus. And she has already got her special brown bags in more than 1,500 gift and grocery stores across the country. Who would have thought? She took a concept and an idea, and it's going to make her go to the bank smiling all the way as she's carrying those greens in. Yes, greens are good. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a special dog, Merle. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Nobody else is your boss over your thinking, except in you. Don't ever turn it over to somebody else. Take charge. Put your mind, put your thoughts, put your heart where it means the most to you and where you feel you're doing the greatest amount of good. God bless. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.